Engineers are ingenious professionals. Engineers invent, design, verify, and qualify. Engineers are the professionals who make our lives and businesses prosperous and safe. The Florida Engineering Society is proud to put our engineering professionals in the spotlight so that they may educate, share information, and introduce you to the world of engineering that is thriving in Florida. Here's your host of the Engineering Florida podcast, Sam Yates, with today's guest. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Florida Engineering Society Engineering Florida podcast. And today, I'm very proud to welcome Dr. Matthew Trasani as our guest, and he's someone who transitions between worlds. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment, the world of engineering, the world of architecture, very easily, and he's also a general contractor. So that puts him in a very unique position. It's a unique trait to be able to do all of that, and we're going to talk about that as part of his story in a moment. But Dr. Trasani, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me today, Sam. I really appreciate you having me on the program.
You know, I look at your experience. I've looked at your projects. I've looked at your CV. All very, very impressive. You, as I mentioned, are in the world of architecture and engineers. It's a different world, but at the same time, tied together. We're going to get into that. But tell us about yourself so we understand the basis for all of this.
Sure. I guess you would say I come from a typical Midwestern background. I grew up in a small city by the name of La Crosse in Wisconsin on the Mississippi River. Family immigrated around 1900. They were farmers at first. My dad owned a construction company. And I think that had a real key to the genesis of, you know, looking at the built environment a certain way that combines architecture, engineering, construction, you know, all to create the world that we live in. Because everything, everywhere we go, the world that we live in, everything is designed, engineered, and constructed. And so, graduated high school. Out of high school, my father wanted me to take over his construction company. So I went into an apprenticeship instead of going into college right away. And I learned a lot about construction doing that. An apprenticeship is with a trade union. And so I spent some time in a technical school and some time out on the job site learning over the course of 4 years. And in doing that, I realized that, you know, I didn't necessarily want to be the builder my whole life. And I was still relatively young. But I also realized what it took in order to build the built environment. And so that's why I decided to study engineering first, because engineering is, you know, the foundation of the built environment, the safety issues, everything that goes into it needs to be coordinated, calculated through engineering. And so I did a degree in architectural engineering, kind of always knowing that I wanted to study the aesthetic side of the built environment as well. And then I got accepted to the University of Miami, a school of architecture. And came to the University of Miami to study architecture and doing a master's degree. While doing my master's degree in architecture, you know, the community figured out that I had a strong background in engineering. And so I started being a teaching assistant for the engineering courses that the architects took, the structures courses. And through that, I met many faculty in the College of Engineering. Gerald DeMarco, Ronald Zolo, Dr. Fang, who was a part of Florida Engineering Society for many years, all of which became great mentors to me. After finishing my master's degree, we discussed going into a PhD, and I saw it as a great opportunity. And so I did a PhD in civil structural engineering, focusing on concrete as a material. And graduated in 2009, you know, just in time that there wasn't a lot of work in the architecture, engineering, and construction industry. And luckily, my alma mater from my bachelor's degree, Milwaukee School of Engineering, hired me back as a professor. And so during my time in Miami, I met my wife, and we moved up to Milwaukee and were there for about 4 years. And after having a couple kids, she really wanted to get closer to family. And so we decided to make the move back down to Miami. And I said, well, all right. So I guess I'm going to start my own business. We're going to see how this is going to go. And after we had moved down, or in the process of moving down, a position at the University of Miami in the College of Engineering opened up in architectural engineering, which is really where I see myself in the world, is in architectural engineering. And so they hired me, very fortunate to get the position at the University of Miami. And, you know, 10 years later, here I am in Miami, owning, operating a design build business, and being a professor at the University of Miami. Kind of a long story on the background, but I think it sets the context for, you know, where I am today.
Well, you know, and I have to say for our audience, sometimes you run across people, especially in my business with public relations, marketing, broadcasting, and now doing the podcast, where you stop and you go, wow, does that sound familiar? My father also had a construction company. My father also wanted me to go into the construction business and take over the company. I had been in the construction industry since a wee kid, and it just was not for me at that time. And I went into broadcasting, long story short. Now, many years later, I find that I have gravitated back to helping market construction companies, engineering companies, architectural companies, design build, having served in that capacity as a professional marketing and public relations person. And you know, I always have that question, what would have happened had I gone into my dad's business? And I probably would have a much different outlook on where I had been in life than I have today. But you know, I totally understand your background on that, and it's fascinating because I see so many parallels between the two. But
I know it's great how things come full circle in the long run.
It is. It is. Now, I'm going to put myself in the place of a student. I'm going to transform from being my host today to a student. Convince me, architect or engineering, and what are the differences between the two?
Well, I would challenge that a little bit, coming from my background, in that, you know, if you think about architecture and engineering, you know, you really should think about it as two sides of the same coin. And the reason why that is, I think we have to look a little bit at the history of it in order to really get a good perspective. If we go back to the first book that was published, or the first known Roman architect engineer, Vitruvius was the guy's name. He published a book called The 10 Books of Architecture. Yep. But really, it's about civil engineering and architecture and how they were practicing building the built environment. And so, due to the complexities of our modern world, right, all the technologies, all we understand about, you know, physics, applied physics now, how in the past, they would experiment with, you know, things, and then those experiments would turn into rules in the built environment. Today, we got the ability to do the calculations based on physics, to predict what these things are going to do, have computers do these predictions for us to help us do the engineering calculations and design these things. And so just due to the sheer complexity of our world, it's kind of fractured a little bit, so to say. And then the, you know, architects now primarily focus on aesthetics, spatial arrangements, you know, history, culture, how those things go into the built environment. And engineers primarily focus on the mathematics, the applied physics, a lot of the code issues, safety as far as the engineering systems go, maybe not necessarily the egress systems, which is still, you know, handled by the architects, the life safety kind of thing. The fire protection, you know, all of those aspects and all of those engineering systems that go into our built environment are so complex that really you need somebody to focus in depth on those and then work as part of a team to bring that solution to the public, or bring that solution to whatever client it may be, whether it's a private client or a public client. So I would, you know, for any student coming in, and I get a lot of students that come in because at the University of Miami, we have both architecture and architectural engineering, and they say, well, what is the difference? And so, you know, I try to explain it in those terms, right? If you, the built environment spans this really kind of broad spectrum, all the way from, you know, people that just want to draw pictures of a beautiful environment for somebody to exist in, all the way to somebody who's really understands the engineering and the physics. And you should find out where you fit in that spectrum of the built environment. And depending on which way you lean, then you might want to go more into architecture. You might want to go more into engineering.
Drawing beautiful photos and pictures. If I build something designed to be beautiful, that's not the direction, but what is the rest of it? But if I build it and it's not beautiful, I've made a mistake.
Yeah. So, Buckminster Fuller, I think.
That's right. Yeah. That said that. That's right. Yeah. Well, one of my dear friends is an architect, and I have to tell you, anytime I run into him, I get the Vitruvius lecture. So he's like, "Do you know?" I was like, "Yeah, I do, Matt. I can tell you, you know, when I see him, I just know it's a matter of probably six sentences before he gets to give me the Vitruvius lecture." But let's go on.
Well, remember that Vitruvius was a civil engineer.
That's right. That's right. So, and he reminds me of that too. And he's like, he'll start looking around and he'll be pointing out things that it's a long story. But real world, right now, you know, you're in Miami. I'm just up the coast. We're neither too far away from Surfside. Surfside, a tragedy that happened as the condo collapsed. Lessons that perhaps we, from your vantage point, have learned, or things that we can look out for to make sure things like this don't happen again.
Yeah, you know, Surfside, really sad. You know, as an engineering community, anytime anything like this happens, it impacts all of us. We all take it to heart. One of our key pledges as engineers is to keep the safety of the public at the highest priority. You know, regardless of other aspects of our business or, you know, other things that are going on. And so, you know, that impact to our community is paramount. And I think you've seen that through how the Florida Engineering Society had come together and grouped similar-minded professional groups together to come out and make some lasting impact and some lasting change around what happened with the Surfside collapse. That being said, there are unpredictabilities in the world. Usually these tragedies happen from a complex overlapping of very low probability events. And that's really what happened, in my opinion, at Surfside. You know, there's activity going on next door. There's the corrosion issues that evolved with, the corrosive reinforcement inside of the concrete. You know, the design issues, the deck falling away, vibrations, rising sea level, changing temperatures, you know, rain precipitation that has increased for years and projects to continue to increase. And so, you know, those overlapping elements, really contributed to, you know, a very low probability of something happening. And I think the recommendations that were taken to the state and went through our state legislative process are really geared towards looking at a holistic picture of a building, empowering the municipalities and the building officials who should be empowered to be able to enforce maintenance issues to be taken care of, and also for people not to be complacent. I think that there were several engineering reports that, you know, on the property that had indicated that there was issues and problems structurally with what was going on, and just the enforcement mechanisms weren't there to force the maintenance that is needed in these type of coastal environments that tend to be, you know, have an environment where, you know, these structures will deteriorate faster than in normal conditions with the marine environment. And so hopefully our efforts have gone to plug those, you know, those holes of those low probability events causing another collapse like this. I know that it's been a big push in the state of Florida, and rightfully so since then. And so, you know, it's good to see as an engineering community that we can come together and push for some change in order to have some stopgaps on these measures.
Do your students come to you and say their thoughts and give their thoughts on Surfside and other tragedies? And does that have a direction on creating the passion for them that they want to work for sustainability in whatever they do?
It does. In our classes, we use engineering failures as lessons taught. You know, there's the Surfside collapse, of course. There's the Hyatt Bridge that collapsed. I'm sure that was a famous one you might have heard of. There's the bridge in Miami that came down during construction. And so, you know, we like to take these tragedies and turn them into teaching experiences for our students. It is a motivator for students. You know, there are a lot of students that get involved in clubs outside of the classroom that, you know, help teach them good leadership principles. And a lot of times bringing in outside guest speakers that have dealt with these tragedies to help, you know, teach those students those aspects. A big motivator for students nowadays is sustainability. I think you've caught on that completely. They see what's going on in the world and how it impacts the built environment, and they want to be part of, you know, improving the built environment and not having the built environment degrade what's going on into the future for future generations.
Well, I'm going to make an offer, and it is there in case you ever need it for your students, and that is part of my background and what I do as a profession is crisis communications. And in those disasters, the ability to effectively communicate rapidly truth and what is happening in a crisis is critical. So if your students ever want to have any firsthand knowledge of do's and don'ts and just a short classroom primer on crisis communications, I'll certainly volunteer to do that, because I have seen in far too many tragedies, the inability to communicate effectively has made the tragedy even worse. So if you ever need it.
Thank you for that, Sam.
I'd be glad to do that. Switch gears. Back to the classroom, still in the classroom, artificial intelligence. We are seeing it everywhere, and it's growing incrementally. Its role in what you're doing.
Well, I think artificial intelligence has the potential to have a very big impact in our community. While I don't think that it necessarily replaces what I call in the classroom the real intelligence, which is how engineers, trained engineers, build engineering judgment over a career and use that engineering judgment to predict and to engineer what's going to happen in the future. So AI, as we know, is trained on models, right? And so primarily what AI is doing is looking to the past, right? And so it gives you its answers based on what answers in the past have been, but not necessarily predicting what's going to be happening in the future. And so in the classroom particularly, I teach a course, a senior design course, where the students take the culmination of what they've done over the previous years at in school, and they apply it to a project, a real world project. We bring in clients so they have a client to respond to. But really, that engineering design aspect is about predicting how that structure or that engineering project is going to perform in the future. Now, we've actually taken the role of letting the students use AI in their projects, and I've said, use AI, get the feedback from whatever AI program that you're using. You have to disclose, of course, that you're using AI. But you as the engineer, it is your role to double check, verify what you're getting out of the AI, and then decide how to use that information to best impact the results of your project or the outcomes of your project. And so we really look at it and are trying to teach it to our students as an additional tool in the engineering toolbox that they can use in order to improve the outcomes of their projects, but all the time stressing that they are the real intelligence in the room and they need to act like the real intelligence. Just like if you get a suggestion on your Google Maps to take a left turn or a right turn, ultimately you're the one making the choice of whether you're going to take the left turn or the right turn. The Google Maps is just there to give you the best advice that it sees at this point in time.
That advice portion, Google aside, and I think I know the answer to this, your take on the importance of mentoring for students and fellow professionals?
Yeah, mentorship, I think, is so key to our profession. We have a mentorship program in the Florida Engineering Society. We have it at different parts in the state. We've been trying to roll it out for larger portions of the state, trying to figure out a strategy on how to do that. At UF, they have a program that runs through their school. In Miami-Dade County, we have a program that runs through the Miami-Dade chapter of the Florida Engineering Society, where we have several schools involved in Miami-Dade County and Broward. So critical to get the experience of the older engineers, the experienced engineers, into the hands of those younger students, right? It's really by following along in the footsteps of mentors that you learn how to develop your engineering judgment. And that starts at all aspects of your career, from learning how to, you know, interview for a job, learning how to think about moving up in a company, learning how to add areas of knowledge to your engineering expertise, and having a mentor, is key in that process. We formulate the program kind of around those things. You know, we have one meeting about just talking about their backgrounds and how their backgrounds led them to engineering, you know, both for the mentor and the mentee. Another talking about, you know, that job interview, putting together the resume, how to prepare, what questions to expect. And then a third meeting around, you know, progressing your way through the engineering profession, how to add, you know, different, what I say, areas of knowledge. But let's say you're a structural engineer and, you know, you want to better yourself at learning about the lateral system, or you want to learn more about post-tensioning in concrete, you know, how to do that, how to approach your superiors at work and to say and let them know and communicate areas that you would like to grow in your career, how to take advantage of opportunities that arise in your career. I think all that stuff really comes from mentorship. And it's great to see people in the Florida Engineering Society. They want to give back. We see so many people sign up. We've been doing this for a few years. You know, the we get the mentees that sign up, and we get so many mentors that sign up that are willing to take on 2, 3, 4 students or young engineers and help to mentor them. It's just great being a part of a community that has such an active mentorship program, and we really would like to expand that moving forward.
I'm going to put on a little bit of a different hat. I'm also a member of the board of directors for the Gold Coast Builders Association, serving the Palm Beaches down into the Miami-Dade area as well. You're in the construction business as well. What's the construction climate right now, the business climate?
Oh, I would say steady. A few years ago, I think as we all know, and I'm more in the residential side of construction. I think on the civil infrastructure side, I think it's really ramping up with things that are coming out, and rightfully so. We have a lot of infrastructure in this country that needs to be rebuilt and enlarged. You know, it's such a key investment for us as a community, as a country, to keep to build that infrastructure sustainably and for the long term. And that investment will reap the rewards of it going forward. In my particular business, in the residential, I would say it is steady. I've seen many swings in this business. And like I said, in 2009, there was basically nothing out there.
Right.
People would liken to a down market, I guess you would say. And then, in COVID and slowly through COVID, it was really a booming market. And, you couldn't find people to hardly do anything. So it's been slowing from there, but it's definitely steady from what I can see.
We've covered a lot of topics. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you want to make sure we cover today?
I think getting out, getting involved with your community, whatever community it might be. I chair a committee at the Florida Engineering Society called the Florida Engineers in Education. You know, we had a meeting yesterday and we always talk about how can we positively impact engineering education this year in the state of Florida. And the committee basically discussed that engineering, that pipeline of engineers, right, opening up the access of engineering education to more groups of people, people in challenged communities, socioeconomic challenged communities, letting that getting out and in those communities and letting people know that what a great profession the engineering profession is, what a transformative impact it could have on not only their lives, but on their families' lives, and showing them where they can get access to this, whether it's jumping right into a four-year engineering degree, or maybe starting your way in a two-year and transferring to a four-year in engineering. So, you know, one thing that I would say that, you know, we're going to be emphasizing out of the FEE committee this year is, you know, really getting out there and trying to get rid of any blockages that we have to that pipeline of future engineers, showing them the pathway to get into engineering and grow as a professional engineer.
Well, certainly if this program can play any role in that, call upon us. We'll be glad to do so. That goes without saying. But Dr. Matthew Trisani, it has been my pleasure to have you here on the program, University of Miami, engineering, architecture. You cover a wide variety of topics and expertise. I really, really appreciate you being here today.
Sam, thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate sharing my thoughts with you. Thank you.
Very good. And that's going to wrap up another edition of the Florida Engineering Society Engineering Florida podcast. I'm Sam Yates. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to another informative episode of the Engineering Florida podcast. Our goal is to help educate and inform everyone who listens to our podcast about our members and topics of interest to the Florida Engineering Society. On behalf of the Florida Engineering Society and the Engineering Florida podcast, have a great day, everybody.